Well, good morning, everybody. It's a joy to be here in the house of God. As the Bible says, one day within the courts of the Lord is better than a thousand elsewhere. So praise the Lord. I was just marveling at the goodness of God. Within a week's time, we may very well have a new pope. And the goodness of God is that here we have this gospel today that takes place at the very in the very spot where Jesus gave us the papacy, where he instituted the papacy. The church of the primacy of St. Peter is built on the very spot where this dialogue and these events that we just heard about in our gospel took place. And that is when and where our good Lord Jesus gave us the Pope, gave us the papacy. And our first reading even has some wonderful pieces about St. Peter as well. But just two little things that we should be praying for, I think, as the cardinals gather on Wednesday to start the conclave. Of course, they're already gathering in Rome, so we're already praying. But the word conclave, by the way, con means with, and clave comes from the word clave, which means key. So they're locked away with a key until they can come up with a decision with the Holy Spirit. They have to have a two-thirds vote, and there's 133 of the cardinal electors. So we're praying for them as they're doing this. And I think what we're praying for most of all is what we hear in the gospel today. Jesus says to the first pope, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than everything? Karen Martin, for my Christmas gift, she gave me this beautiful painting that she made. It's on the other side of this pillar, if you probably can't see it over there. But anyways, it's Jesus walking right next to St. Peter, and they're walking along the water. And it's beautiful because the sun is setting and you just see the closeness of their relationship. I have this painting in my office because it reminds me that, of course, I'm not the Pope, but it reminds me even as a pastor to the closeness that I have to have with Jesus at all times. That has to be the first thing. And so we pray that whoever our new Pope will be, that the first thing for him is that relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if we have a pope walking hand in hand with the Lord Jesus, we're in perfect hands. Of course, we're all ultimately in God's hands and Our Lady's hands, but the Lord in his goodness has given us a pope, a vicar here on earth to guide us, to teach us. And so the first thing we're praying for is that whoever our new pope will be the one that loves Jesus the most, that he has that, and that will always be his priority in life, Jesus Christ. Heaven. And the second thing is Jesus three times says, feed my sheep. Feed. Well, one time he says lambs, but feed. And what is the Pope's ultimate responsibility as we read in the catechism? It is to feed us. We're the sheep. To feed us what? Faith, hope, and charity. To feed us the faith. Why did they lock Peter up in our first reading in jail? They locked him up in jail because he filled Jerusalem with the teachings, the doctrines of God, of Christ. And we pray that our popes will always fill the whole earth with right and sound doctrine. And this is so, the heavenly teachings are represented by the gold key that is even in that window back there that St. Peter is entrusted with. And we pray that our popes will always, whoever our new pope will fill the world, fill the church with right, beautiful, the doctrine of Jesus, the deposit of faith, hope. Here we are in the Jubilee year of hope, as Pope Francis convened months ago. And the pope, in a special way, is called to feed us with hope. That yes, we look to Rome, sweet home, because we know. And we look to our spiritual father on earth for hope, to know that darkness doesn't have the final say, nor does death. Remember the ubi et orbi address that Pope Francis gave in the dark and rainy March day of COVID, or maybe it was April. And I just remember the whole world was looking there for hope. And boy, did he deliver. And the last thing, charity. We pray that our Pope, our new Pope, will fill the world, feed us with charity. Feed with a preferential option for the poor and the needy. But that our Pope is ultimately responsible for feeding the world, feeding us lambs, us sheep, with an example of charity, with teachings of charity, with words of charity, and with truth, of course. And this is what we're praying for. We're not bystanders. You know, this is a huge thing, and that's why I'm preaching about it today. This is a huge thing, the new Pope. Big deal. Big deal. And we're not just bystanders, like watching what's happening and putting bets on it, you know? That's not what it's about. We actually enter into it by our prayers and our fastings. And so what I'm inviting everybody to do at the doors of the church when you leave today, no matter how old you are, if you're 2 years old or if you're 200 years old, you can grab a piece of paper on the way out, and it has the name of one of the voting cardinals. And it also has the assignment that cardinal has, or where they're from. And just take that one prayer into prayer. Offer rosaries for him. Offer holy hours, masses. However you want to pray and fast for him. But what we're praying for here is that that each cardinal, as they vote, will be focused on the needs of the church, the needs of souls, the will of God, most importantly, that they will have clarity of mind and heart as they vote, that they will follow, recognize the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and that they will follow those promptings, that they will work for unity and all of these things, and holiness and salvation. So this is what we're praying for with each one. And I'm not sure. I think there ought to be a prize for the people that get the one that wins. But anyway, take your cardinal and pray for him this week in a very special way. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.